is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, a.k.a. Bird on a Bike.
Not for long.
Not for long. The African bird.
I've just been downstairs to the loo.
Yeah.
Saw Sue down there.
Yeah.
And she said to me, are you leaving? I'm like, whoa, we came out an hour ago.
Well, she was obviously listening.
Clearly. We like that. Sue, yeah. Thanks.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you that missed the first half of the show, we had a big announcement from Bert. She's leaving us high and dry, just walking away.
I wish I could bottle when people go, where are you going? I'll go, Rwanda. And they go,
where?
What?
Are you
and then
mad?
It goes on from there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they think you're the kind of person that would be going to Monaco or Switzerland. Or...
Oh, don't get me wrong. We'd like to go to Monaco. It's just we don't have liquid assets of half a mil yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming. Yeah.
Right. I want to tell you about this from Athelbray. They're up and coming courses from Athelbray Limited. Strategies for Surviving Stress. With April brings Stress Awareness Month, and our specialist wellbeing trainer, Ellie, is delivering 2 3-hour workshops on the 23rd of April, at Chelster Park Hotel near Maidstone. I better self-isolate. I've just coughed. Anyway, on the 23rd
that
of...
That sentence was never invented 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Where has it come from?
Absolutely. So let me do that again. So there's 2 3-hour workshops on the 23rd of April at the Chilston Park Hotel. It's gorgeous there. At Lenham, just outside Maidstone. And they're going to be covering learning about and implementing lifestyle adaptions which help handle stress and increase resilience. Tips on how to feel better during a bad day. Understanding the effect
I need that
for a bad week. Understanding the effect stress has on the body, both physically and mentally.
Biggest health killer in the US.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Highly practical sessions for managers, team leaders, and anyone wanting to be more aware of their own responses to stress. It's only £99 per person to include all the refreshments, or you can book 2 places for £150. The way to find out more is to follow them on the Twitter at Athelbray Limited. Athelbray Ltd is their Twitter handle. Give them a follow.
It's interesting that they're covering that subject, and probably you can't measure that either.
Yeah, stress in the workplace.
Yeah, you just can't measure it.
No.
That's very true.
Because actually, it's a personal perspective as well.
Yep. Stress is a really weird thing, because even if you know you're stressed, you still can't always deal with it, and because it's not always about dealing with what you think is the thing that's stressing you, if you see what I mean.
And does stress only come when you go further up Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Oh, did you see that?
I don't know.
No. Somebody posted it yesterday. They posted the old classic triangle of hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but they changed the bottom one to toilet rolls.
That is brilliant. Excellent. Your basic needs.
Your basic needs. Toilet rolls.
No, I didn't see that.
Did you not see it?
No.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, you can't reach self-actualisation until you've got your own toilet rolls.
Until you've got a stash of toilet rolls. Yeah.
To sit on.
It's Andrex or nothing. Yeah. The Romney Resource Centre have been on. Hey, Paul. Hey, Bird. Have a great show today. We want to thank all of our funders, partners and supporters for helping us to continue the invaluable work that we do in our local community. And that's from the lovely folks down there on the marsh at the Romney Resource Centre. Do give them a follow. They're fantastic folks and they're doing a great job.
Networkers Networking, Hi Vanilla Web, Bird and a Bike, please give us a shout out. Our first event of 2020 is next Wednesday. Good Lord.
Yep.
Have a great day of networking in a relaxed environment. The places are limited and there are just a few left. You need to go to www.avexio.co.uk/whatson.
Absolutely.
It's at East One Manor. Love it.
It's going to be great. And there's some really interesting stuff there. They've got an escape room in a bag.
Oh, that's interesting.
Absolutely. You've got to come along to find out more. They've got an escape room
in the bag.
Have
you tried it?
No. I'm
Have
really,
you not only known to look
I
at it?
I don't know anything about it. I'm really looking forward to it.
If you win,
yeah,
you've cheated.
How can you say? I don't know.
It's true.
Yeah.
So you can't play.
Okay. Well,
Well, what, I'm sorry. It's just, else we're just going to think you've been sat there for weeks with it.
No, I haven't. I haven't done anything with it. It's an outside company that are bringing it along.
Oh, perfect. Not, so you've not even seen it?
I've not even seen it. No, no. So when I win, which I will...
Because I know everything.
Because it's complete talent, yeah.
That should be your pitch. Hello, Paul Andrews. I know everything.
Yeah. I just said it on my business card. Funny enough, my favourite band, which is Fleetwood Mac... and I play their track at the start of the show earlier. But, of course, one of their other big tracks is Everything, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is brilliant. Stephen's company, right, I always say to him, you build countries, love, and he goes, yeah. I can't pitch that. That's just too... I go, yeah, do it. Yeah. And my other friend put on his CV, genius. I was like, that is brilliant.
Genius. Yeah. Genius.
It is brilliant, isn't it? I just have them in just for a laugh to see who they were.
I had a tweet from Pentins Business Advisors, and they say, we're so thrilled to announce not one but two new shortlists for Pentins. Our company has been selected as a finalist at the Business Awards Canterbury in their small business innovation categories. Many thanks to Awards Kent, our team, and of course our valued clients. I'm looking forward to that. I'm hosting that. Canterbury Business Awards at Broome Park, 26th of March.
Of course you are.
It's going to be fun.
Nice. Women in Business Awards were on Friday last week.
Yep.
Did you hear about them?
I kind of didn't follow it. I wasn't. I used to actually host it a couple of years ago, and then Hillary wanted to do it herself, and I didn't even know it was on until on was it Friday night?
I think it was Friday night. Yeah.
I suddenly started seeing things come up on Twitter going, "Hey, I won!
Did
you win? Yeah. But I kind of missed it because I was already 2/3 of the way through it before I noticed it was on.
Yeah.
Talking about awards, All Health Matters. Lovely Jilly Monk and her team from Folkestone and Canterbury delighted to announce that All Health Matters and our MD Jill Monk are finalists in the Canterbury Business Awards. So congratulations, and we're looking forward to seeing you all at the awards at the lovely Broome Park.
Nice.
You can do an email if you want.
Thank you. Save the date.
I'm good like that.
South East Construction Expo 2020, Tuesday the 28th of April, and this is South of England showground Arding Lie. I always used to get it wrong, now I get it right.
Now you get it right, and now you're going to Africa, exactly. So you won't have to say it anymore.
West Sussex, and I still can't pronounce stuff over there, so it's even worse. And Wednesday the 23rd of September, Sandown Park, it's the exhibition centre in Surrey. And here are the details, they're at
www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
So have you entered the South East Construction Awards as well for 2020? They're sponsored by All Health Matters, which you've just said, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
The applications are open. You can go to www.construction-expo-awards.co.uk.
Fantastic. There's a Women in Business Luncheon. You'll hear a wide range of speakers covering all areas of business who will not only share those stories and experience, but give an insight into what has worked for them and what didn't work for them. And more importantly, what you can take away and apply in your business. It's guaranteed that you'll not only learn things that will make a difference, but you'll also have fun. And the next one is taking place at the Chilston Park Hotel, Lenham, on March the 19th. It's only £33 plus VAT. All the details, plus your booking, www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Do we know who the speakers are?
Yeah, Kerry Madgwick and Miranda Eyre.
Yeah?
Yeah. Are the two speakers? Yeah, that's right.
I love Chilston.
Chilston's fabulous. Yeah. It's lovely. Mm. I remember it when, before they had electricity. Seriously, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
What, really?
It was only 20 years ago, mate.
What are you talking about?
When the Millers owned it, when Millers Antique owned it, there was no electricity in the main restaurant. They had gas lamps, which little people in Victorian uniforms used to come and light and then put out at the end of the day.
I thought he was joking.
No, I knew he wasn't, but it was just like, are you older than I thought you were now?
I'm quite old.
I thought we're going back to the 18th century. He's defied history.
Do you know what? It's not that long ago. You see, we lose sight of this. I used to know some folks in Canterbury that lived in Ada Road, Canterbury. It's in Windcheap, and they didn't have electricity in their house. They had gas mantles, which they had to light with a box of matches.
Well, my nan used to have an outside toilet.
Oh, outside toilets. I've still got one. I've got an outside toilet.
It's called a field.
Bush. Yeah. Funnily enough, my son and his wife and my grandson, that's exactly what they've got. They live in the middle of nowhere in France, and they don't actually have a toilet in their house at the moment. He's building one as we speak, aren't you, Jamie?
That's hilarious. Yeah. From YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What you got?
Oh, we have a variety of offices available to rent within our Green Acres building. If you're looking for affordable workspace, why not consider having a viewing with us? Our office space is located within 15 minutes of Maidstone and Kings Hill with easy access to the M20. We're also just over a mile away from Wateringbury.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I'm even starting to speak the lingo now. Station with routes to London. We have a function room, a cafe bistro on site, perfect for conferences. And its discounted prices are also available for those who rent our office space. So you need to go to www.kenwoodtrust.org.uk and then you need to put /Greenacres office space and you'll find it.
And all that income goes to a charity as well.
Yeah.
We're a charity. I'm a trustee there. And we're a charity that... a residential charity that helps people with drink and drug and homelessness issues. Mm. So all your rent goes towards supporting a charity. What's not to like? It's a lovely place.
Yeah.
The offices are modern, very nice, but they're in an absolutely stunningly beautiful location. Mm. It's great. Get there.
But they've got outside toilets.
No. Outside toilets? No, all of our toilets are inside.
What, if you've got a toilet block?
No, because...
Is that an outside toilet?
Block? But we don't have an outside toilet block because we don't need one because we've got loads of toilets in our main Georgian house.
With lighting and electricity.
With electricity and all kind of modern things, yeah? Like paint on the walls.
I've got a funny story to tell you, yeah. Right? So we went to Kigali last week and we're obviously looking for houses and whatever, so I'm getting all these things come through. And it says... And this house is close to the tarmac road. And I'm like, wow, the tarmac road. This must be a really, really popular road. And you know what this is, right? And Stephen's going, oh, wow. I said, babe, it's by the tarmac road. He's like looking at me like, by the way, he's Scottish and angry. So he's like looking at me thinking. And I realised after all of them are near the tarmac road. It's near a tarmac road.
Right.
So the tarmac road wasn't the name of it. Do you know what I mean? It was very, very funny. Silly Sarah.
Do you know tarmac was invented in Scotland?
They invent everything and they are everywhere.
Absolutely.
They're like New Zealanders.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't understand them.
Here he is, Jimmy. Okay, you can do one more and then we're going to talk to Barbara.
Okay, so we've got business owners, managers, join Business Bunker radio show, jobsinkent.com and FSB Kent on our Skills 3030 Schools programme to inspire the next generation of talent about the world of work. Details of the next free to attend events. How much do they cost?
They're free, mate.
So it doesn't cost me anything?
Not a penny.
Why?
Because they're free.
3rd of June 2020. That was like pantomime.
Yeah.
100...
It's behind you, Bird. It's behind you.
This is 100. I never say
the 100 of who.
Thank you. The 100 of who Academy. 26th of June is Wilmington Academy. 8th of July is Maskell School, Paddock Wood. You need to go to
www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/3030. Yeah, come along. Join us. It's good fun.
I still want to come. I've still never done them.
It's great fun. It really is good fun. And the students are always brilliant. And we have lots of fun. It's only a couple of hours and you're really giving a lot. Mm. And, you know, young people don't have any idea about the world of work. Why would they? How could they? Yeah. And quite often, nor do their careers teachers. So, you know, with businesses coming along and talking about what's happening, and that sounds a bit harsh, but there's no reason why a careers teacher should understand, because the business changes so quickly, the world changes so quickly. And one of my favourite statistics, and I don't even think I made this one up, which I normally do, is that...
That's all statistics. They're all made up. Yeah. Sorry.
Is that 61% of young people currently at school will do a job when they leave which hasn't yet been invented.
Wow.
Yeah. Impressive. That's staggering, isn't it?
I reckon you made that statistic up, just like the toilet rolls and that.
Yeah. Well,
and you can have it.
No, it is actually. Nobody can quite pinpoint where the data came from, but it is a legitimate statistic. And I actually got it off the ONS website, the Office of National Statistics. But they didn't go into how they arrived at that statistic. So I think someone somewhere kind of guessed. It sounds good, though, doesn't it?
I used to have great pride in saying, yeah, I come from a research-based practice. Yeah. And then when I saw the statistic that 85% of all research is made up. Yeah, and found to be incorrect within 5 years, I thought, better not say that anymore.
We'll back out of that, we've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson who said there was a really interesting conversation on return on investment and data analytics and business and about some of the key performance indicators which can be measured in pounds and profits as well as other things. I know much of my business model is built on community support and giving back. Forensic investigation is a great way to describe it. What a fantastic interview with Lucia.
Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah, cool. And on that note, I think we'll talk to our next guest, don't you? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time, all the way from California, originally.
Or Faversham.
Or Faversham, as it's normally known, yeah.
No difference.
It's very hard to tell the difference between downtown Los Angeles and Faversham, I have to tell you.
I live in Faversham as well.
Yeah. All the way from Faversham via California, lovely Barbara Luna. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off, Barbara, by telling us about your business and what it is you do.
Okay, Luna Customer Experience. I've been around for almost 4 years now. And what I do is help independent business owners figure out their return on investment in their marketing money. Basically, it sounds like a buzzword, customer experience, but what we focus on is customer retention.
Yeah.
And not... we sort of take over where the numbers leave off, and that is the concept is, what are you doing at any given point in your interaction with your clients or customers that develops the relationship, continues the relationship when they leave the business, when the initial interaction is completed, so that when they're gone, they would go no place else but back to you when necessary, and hopefully tell all their friends to do the same.
Okay, just a little thing up front. The difference between clients and customers. Clients are things that lawyers and accountants have, and customers are things that fish and chip shops have. I just thought you'd need to know that.
I think that is the common definition. I think every business owner should treat everyone who walks through the door as a client.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the first things I tell the people that I work with, that you should never think of someone as someone who's not going to come back. And in the end, that's the only difference, is the repeat in the business. So
I used to talk about, when I did consulting, to lifetime value of a customer.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what most people overlook, is the lifetime value of a customer. You have a customer that goes into a fish and chip shop and buys a bag of chips for a pound. Yeah. You don't think too much about abusing them if you get into a bit of a row, yeah? Because it's only a pound, isn't it? Yeah.
Precisely.
But it's not. And that's the crucial thing. It isn't only a pound. It's not only the lifetime value of that particular customer. It's who they tell that they had a bad experience as well.
That's exactly right. And this is a very simple concept, but it's overlooked so often. Mm. And having moved here from California, which is...
go on, you can tell us.
Money-oriented community. I hate to say that. I come from a lot. I spent time in many places that were not.
Yeah.
But I did grow up in an area that's considered very wealthy.
Yeah.
When I moved here, the area that I was living in it's very wealthy. Everything is service-based. Everything is customer-based. And in the end, it comes down to money.
Yeah.
We all have to eat, so I totally understand that. But moving here, I saw a distinct difference in how business owners treat customers, not clients.
Mm.
And I felt I wasn't doing Luna Customer Experience at the time, but I felt immediately like I could help people make sort of a shift in the way that they think and therefore in the way that they run their business. And I don't mean telling people to be nice to the gentleman who just wants to spend a pound on a bag of chips. That's not what I do. So,
but even that, as a silly example that I used, is still important.
It is
really, you know, we don't understand enough how important it is to think about what it is we're dealing with when we're dealing with a customer. Yeah.
It's a human being.
Yeah.
And so a sort of motto that I operate on, and this is a quote from Dr. Maya Angelou. Hopefully everyone knows who she is. Mm-hmm. Was. People will forget what you said and people will forget what you did, but people will not forget how you made them feel.
Yep.
And because of that, and because people are people, it's helpful to have processes in place so that you can deal with the angry person who didn't get the chips that they wanted in time or whatever it is that comes up. But it's not just about customer service. It's about implementing a whole process that takes care of that person and makes them feel connected to you. So even if the selling of the chips goes really, really well, once that person walks out the door, there goes your marketing dollar.
Yep.
And the key is, how do you maintain the relationship with that person when they walk out the door? Obviously, you start out knowing that you have the best chips, so they have that in their mind. But as they leave, how do you make sure that that person still feels connected to your chip shop? They have other options. Mm. So just as an example, one of the things that I help people do is develop a loyalty program.
Right.
Any business, right now Luna is sort of focused on saving the high street. Hmm. So any business on a high street needs to have a loyalty program of some kind, some way that incentivizes their clients to come back to them, choose them over other businesses that offer the same services. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly the kind of thing that I try to help people do. And one of the things that people shy away from a loyalty program is that they think of it as, obviously, it's a little bit more work for them. They're afraid it involves technology. I completely understand. It does not have to be a tech-based loyalty program, although those are good. It just is a matter of finding some way to remain connected to that person when they leave.
Okay. I get that. Let's explore some of those things.
Okay.
Yeah. So from your point of view, you're working with people to try to develop their marketing and their customer retention skills are just, again, one of the things that we tend to overlook, especially big corporations here, is that they're quite willing for customers to walk away, and they seem to spend an awful lot of time schmoozing new customers. And the insurance industry and people like Sky TV and stuff like that are the worst at that.
Yeah, gyms are the same. They don't care about keeping customers. They just want more people come through the door.
This is something that I have trouble understanding. I find that to be the case. Yeah. You actually mentioned Sky as an example. Providers like that here in the UK do a lot of work trying to get you to switch. And they have no problems watching you walk away. I have noticed that as well. Mm. But every major research publication in business will tell you that it is minimally 5 times more expensive to get a new customer than it is to keep an existing customer.
I agree. So I don't understand it.
One of the things that I have to do often is sort of educate a business owner on the basics of you spend so much money on marketing, invest a little bit of time after that, and you can decrease the amount of money you're spending on marketing. So again, it baffles me that that seems to be the norm. I would say more with large companies in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
Small companies are a little bit better, but yeah, I can't explain it. I can only hope to educate.
The classic example is the insurance industry.
Yeah. I was gonna bring that up.
Every year you get a renewal that's always hugely more than you paid last year. And when you ring up and go, hold on a minute, you've put the prices up 30%, and they go, yeah. And you go, well, I'm not paying that. And I go, no, okay, fine. And you go away. I did one. I won't name them because that would be wrong. Hastings Direct.
Oh my God! Are you okay?
Yeah.
What's wrong today? Have you been in that submarine?
No.
You haven't been up the surface.
Let me tell you the story because it's ridiculous. Yeah, I had a policy. I've been with them a couple of years. They tried to charge me 50% more for the same thing without having made a claim. When I rang, they refused to budge on it. So I went to a comparison website, and guess who gave me the best price.
Hastings.
Hastings Direct.
Yeah.
And it was £200 a year cheaper than they quoted me. So
did they price match?
Yeah. But, you know, it's insane.
I agree with you.
I'm not entirely sure whether I'm right about this, but I'm assuming there's something in the insurance industry that makes this viable. You know, like they give it away cheap, but by the second year they think you're going to start claiming. So, you know, they hedge their bets by getting rid of you and getting a new client. I can only think there's some mathematical formula.
I have a theory. Yeah. I don't know. There may be math behind it, but my theory is that traditionally, generations, maybe my generation, I won't say what that is, my generation and before, once you were settled in with a company, you were comfortable and they could get away with doing that.
Yeah.
I think they're just a little bit behind the times in figuring out that the internet has changed what people's options are. And ultimately, they're going to have to catch on. Again, it's just a theory, but at some point, they must notice that they have a continuing customer who's paying a lot less, and they could have saved a lot of time and money by just changing your rates for you, giving you the best available
and
rate.
I think you're right, and I think not necessarily with Hastings, but with companies in general. One of the things that annoys me is auto-renewals. Because if you miss it, they auto renew it, and then you know they won't back out of it. Then, so you'll probably find that quite a few people miss the price hike and just let it auto renew, and
so they're
pay through the nose.
But the younger generations, they don't miss it. They're so technologically plugged in that they're on top of it all the time.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so let's talk more generally. Because we've established that, you know, that's kind of a crazy way of doing business, although some big businesses still seem to do it for some bizarre reason. What we don't want is for smaller businesses to start copying them, because that's crazy, because it is far better to retain a customer than it is to generate a new one.
Of course.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you look at, Barbara, when you go and meet with a client for the first time? What do you look at? What are the kind of things you talk about? How do you get them to start focusing on what the issues need to be?
So generally, when I start speaking with an individual client, they have already thought about what they want me to look at.
Yeah.
Most commonly, because I have a background in high tech, most commonly what I've been asked to look at is a website. And what they're looking for is, why is my website not bringing me more business?
Yep.
So one of the things that I do is evaluate a website to find the pain spots where they lose their potential clients, and I have many other tools, but this has been a consistent request.
Yep.
So where am I losing a client through the process? I usually address that by either evaluating myself. I consider myself, despite having been in high tech for 16 years in the past, I consider myself an average user, especially of a website. So I try to help them and work with their web developer to figure out where they've lost people, what's confusing, and I don't like to do marketing writing, but I can help just make the words more clear, sort of draw the customer in. A lot of times where they're actually struggling is where their branding isn't clear. So I don't have a lot of branding experience, but I can at least point out where they need to sort of beef up the clarity of what they're working on.
Right.
After that, what I like to do is help clients establish their physical space. Are they addressing all the pain spots for their clients and potential clients? Here's an example. This was not one of my clients, but it's something that I mentioned to almost every client. If your clients are coming to visit you in your workspace, have you helped them park their car?
All right.
And we talk about parking all the time. It's so important.
It absolutely is. And it's one of the things that most businesses don't think about at all.
Absolutely.
But if you start your relationship with your client and they are stressed, you've already 50% lost them as a repeat client. And it's a simple thing. But make sure your client, if parking is terrible at your place of business, tell them in advance it's terrible. Give yourself
where
some extra time.
Park. Yeah.
Or exactly, give them specific directions where to park and tell them, and then you have to walk for a couple of minutes. Whatever it is, at least minimally prepare them.
Do you know, as a customer, I've been to things where when I've got there, there is absolutely nowhere to leave my car and I've turned around and gone.
So have I.
And so I think especially a small business owner, and it's understandable because you have so many things that you're juggling as a small business owner, but you overlook that. Mm. And I think what I find is that the immediate response, if I mention something, not just parking, but something of that level, they immediately think, oh, I don't have time to deal with that. But if you bring it back to how much money did it cost you to bring that client almost in the door or all the way in the door, but they're not coming back, what are you willing to spend in terms of time or money to make sure that they come back again or that when they leave, they say to their friend, it was so simple.
Yeah.
You have to go. It's just an important detail. Again, I'm not advising that anyone spend an hour preparing for every client who's going to come in the door. It should be part of the process.
It's making people feel welcome as well, isn't it? There's nothing worse than turning up somewhere where the front desk are dismissive of you. They go, yeah, what do you want? Yeah. What's it about? Who are you? You know, do you not know?
That gets into one of the, if you have employees, one of the key parts of your customer experience is training your staff.
Yeah.
Of course, that isn't something that Luna has ventured into at this point in time, but it is absolutely critical.
But I'd like to get your views on this. You know, you don't even have to be a huge company. I won't name them because that really isn't fair. But you know, I go around doing things and visiting people, and you get to somewhere, not a massive organisation, but they have a front of house of some kind, you know, a reception desk or whatever. How difficult is it to tell the reception desk, look, I've got this person coming in, yeah, and they should be here around about 10 o'clock. Can you sit them down and get them a cup of coffee? Whereas when you arrive, they make it sound like the Spanish Inquisition. You know, what do you want? Why are you here? What's it about? Yeah.
Do you know who the worst people are for that? Solicitors. Lawyers' offices.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you in reception.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with you. My own business.
So you are absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it's one of these simple things that is overlooked consistently. Mm-hmm. And a solicitor's office is a perfect example. So because these sorts of things become uncomfortable, and because if you say to someone, every time a client comes, you need to do X, Y, and Z, that feels too onerous to a business owner. So one of the things I try to teach my clients is that it's not something you have to think about every time your client comes. It's something that you plan, create a process for everyone involved, document it, train anyone who needs to know, and then it's just a repeatable thing. It's like anything else. It becomes easier, takes up less of your time and energy if you have it planned in advance.
The best company I've seen do this and continue to do this is McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Seriously. They have a folder, a manual for every person in their organisation to behave like this, to do this, so that each client, and they call their customers clients.
Excellent.
That's why they have one of the greatest businesses on the planet. It's not the greatest burger, but it is one of the greatest eating experiences because we keep going back, whether it's because it's fast, whether it's because, but look what they've done now. So they haven't taken their budget away because they've gone more AI. What they've done is created table service.
Yeah.
It's a really good point.
So the experience is still there. So that's, for me, how I make a burger is this. So if I went to LA, I should be treated the same as I am in Folkestone.
But also you don't feel like you've been served by a computer, even though
you got it.
Automation has been inserted. Obviously, McDonald's is so automated. But you're right. You have something at the table that entertains you. They bring things to the table because they used a resource that used to be busy doing something else. It's a perfect example.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very easy, though, when you've got your own business to neglect it because you're busy thinking, this is a service I want to deliver.
Of course.
Someone's coming there asking me this question.
Because
actually when I sit with Barbara and I listen to her talkie, I suddenly think, yes, I've really got to do this, really got to do that. Hmm. And it's quite easy to forget it because you're so focused on what you're doing. You're not thinking from the customer's perspective.
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's so many things in there that you can light on. But it's interesting. We have a tendency to use technology as a weapon. Yeah. And I did some consultancy a few years ago for a company on IVR boxes, interactive voice response boxes, yeah, which are almost 100% deployed as a weapon to kill customers. You know, like press one if you've got a pain in the eye, press two if I'm a pain in the bum, press three if you, you know, want to tell me your eyes are blue, press. They never tell you what you phoned up about.
That's right.
And they make you go round and round and round and round and round and round in circles. And by the time you get to speak to a human being, you're so wound up by all the nonsense that you, that the whole relationship starts off badly. And I just do not understand why companies deploy IVR boxes in that way. Well, I do understand why they do it. They're trying to get you to go away, is basically what they're trying to get you to do. And it annoys me. But I had the opposite experience yesterday, which was brilliant. And it was with a technology company. And I've got to say a huge shout out to 123 Registrations. I got an automated email over the weekend saying a problem with your payment for your URL. I forget. It was declined by the your credit card. So I phoned my credit card company. They went, no, they didn't present us with anything. We haven't declined anything. So I rang up. I got through the IVR box, which was really annoying me, and a customer service assistant answered the phone. Hello. And I was ready to have a go. And I said, look, this has happened. And she went, blooming computers, useless, aren't they? Right.
Off script.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Is that on script or is that off script?
I choose to think, I would like to believe, well-trained.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying,
really
question
like
that.
To think whoever that was told in advance, remember who you're talking to. They're probably wound up. They were probably trapped.
Absolutely. And it was...
Pattern interrupter.
Blooming computers. But what's the matter? And I told her, she went, oh, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Let me have a look at this. Oh, da, 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 da. I don't know what went wrong there. Probably something, da, 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 da. Let me take the payment from you now and let me go through. And she said, and you've been inconvenienced, so you're going to have 20% off as well.
Wow.
And she did. I love you. Yeah. I absolutely love
you. And you'll go back, right?
And I'll go back, and I'll go back, and I'll go back, because she was brilliant. Yeah. She didn't make me suffer their processes.
She had two things working for her. And tell me, you said 123 Registration?
Yeah.
Definitely going to remember that. So she had the correct attitude.
Yeah.
She was also empowered as an employee to do something to make you happy.
Yeah.
And that is so critical. Mm. Again, Luna doesn't do staff training or employee training, but if we did, that would be one of the first things I try to tell my clients. You have to leave your front line empowered to actually help someone.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And
brilliant.
Not go, I'm going to have to ask somebody and come back to you. Yeah. You've lost me.
Yeah.
She was able to say and able to action something immediately.
Absolutely.
Really clever.
That's brilliant.
Fantastic. So, let's kind of, we're kind of running out of time. So I want to, this, because for me, it's a fascinating thing. I'll give you another example. I've been a long term client of a professional service organization. I've known them for years and years and years. 30 years I've dealt with them. We have a really strong relationship. Da, 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 da. They got taken over. Okay. I used to ring up, and as soon as I rang, the person that answered the phone, before I suddenly go, they go, hello, Paul, because they recognize my voice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's now, yes, who do you want? Why do you want them? Yeah. Mm. What do you want to talk to them about? I'm a long-term customer. Are you? What's the name of your company? Now, okay, I understand that it's someone new and they don't know me, but that change is just, it's an excuse for me to go, do you know what? I could walk away now. I used to stay with you because it was so easy to stay with you because you recognised me, you knew my ins and outs and all the rest of it. And now you don't. So why am I linked to you anymore? Why don't I go and research the market and find someone else? Because I'm starting again anyway. Yeah. Okay. I want to explore some more with you, Barbara, about the kind of things, the kind of issues that you're dealing with, and the kind of, give us a couple of bullet points, the things, if we run a small to medium-sized business, what are the kind of bullet points you would say to us, these are the things you need to focus on to start to build a customer relationship?
So to start with, Luna has a very distinct way of defining the customer experience. It's a phased-based experience. It's before, during, and after. I call it new, now, and next. And the first thing I would say is define each phase of your client's experience with your business. That it gets into some technical details about where your marketing ends and when you consider them having completed an actual transaction. So I strongly encourage my clients to very clearly define each of the phases of their business's CX. And then I ask them to look at where they think they are currently the weakest, where they think they need the most help. Within each phase, I have my preferred tools, and this sort of goes back to what Lucia was talking about before. A lot of businesses don't have any clear numbers to define for themselves where they're actually struggling, and so I tend to focus on non-number-based data. So hopefully they have some feedback that is an indication of where they're struggling. And one of my strongest tools is, it's called a KJ, and it's a very long explanation, but it is a way of helping them evaluate non-numeric data, so verbal data. It's a very old school technique that I learned from a once mentor of mine in the high tech industry. And it seems to be still the most effective way of taking what your clients have told you and finding what's working and what's not working.
Right.
So it's, but the key is define the process, and then what you do once you've defined the process is control the information flow between you and your client all the way through all three phases. And the one where most people tend to forget is the after phase, the next phase.
Yep.
And I'd say develop the relationship.
Right.
So
it's very true, isn't it? And nowadays, there's lots of different ways of developing the relationship as well.
Indeed.
You know, with the use of social media and other technical platforms, as well as, you know, conventional things.
Precisely.
Yeah. Cool. I've had a tweet here. I don't know if you know them or not, from Mailboxes Canterbury. Yeah.
Yes, I know them.
And they say, Luna Customer Experience and Dello Data Analytics, Vanilla Web, fantastic show. Two ladies who really know their stuff.
Oh, thank you, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Cool. Look, this is a really important topic, and we've kind of just touched the surface of it.
Can I just give a little shout out?
Yeah, of course.
There is an organization called Shop by the Sea, which supports independent high street businesses in Whitstable and Tankerton.
Yep.
And that organization has embraced the idea that it's helpful to businesses to understand the concept of customer experience. And so I will be doing a talk. If you're listening, if you are a business on the high street in Whitstable or Tankerton, I will be giving a talk free to you towards the end of April. So find your Shop by the Sea newsletter under upcoming events and sign up as soon as you can.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Paul.
That's an absolute pleasure. And I might actually come along and say that myself.
That would be brilliant. Love that.
Yeah. For the moment, Luna, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about Luna and what you're doing, what's the best way to do that?
LunaCustomerExperience.com. And I do a lot of networking. So if you email me, Barbara@lunacustomer.com, by all means, I will respond and invite you to some networking event if you're up for that sort of thing.
Fantastic. Cool. Good. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
We've got like 5-10 minutes or so left of the show. But for the moment, both of you, thank you so much. It's been a fascinating discussion about all things data and customer. And all the things that go with that. Yeah.
Thank you.
What you got, Bird?
Join us at Kenwood Place for our boot fairs throughout 2020. There's a massive list, and they'll be holding boot fairs for the first Sunday of every month throughout 2020. So instead of me reading them all out, that's the first Sunday of every month throughout 2020. They'll all be held between the hours of 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. and our Sage and Time Cafe will be open throughout for a delicious light lunch. We'll be holding our fairs indoors and outdoors depending on the weather. And if you'd like to have a stall at one of our fairs, please give us a ring. Get ready for this. It's 01622 814 187. But by far the easiest way is to do an email, which is reception@kenwoodtrust.org.uk.
Fantastic. The Venues and Events Expo Southeast 2020 is opening its doors to the third annual Vexpo, and it's going to be hosted in a brand new venue, which is in central Southeast England at the Hampshire Court Hotel, over there just outside Basingstoke. There's going to be more than 80 amazing exhibitors showcasing the very best venues and suppliers based in the Southeast, giving you the chance to connect with them and get to know what they can offer you and your clients. There's also some fam trips, that's familiarisation trips, after the expo that will allow you to truly experience what they have to offer in the region. Put the date in your diary. The website is open now to book your free space to come along or to book an exhibitor space. It's taking place on Thursday the 14th of May from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and you can find out all about it by going to the website, which is venuesevents.expo.co.uk. That's venues with an S, events with an S, expo, expo.co.uk. Check it out.
Cool. The next free jobs in Kent.com. Careers Fair will be held at the Pentagon's shopping centre. Now, I know you spoke about this, didn't you? This is at Chatham on Thursday, the March. How come they've put two in? How come they've put two emails in?
No, Tracy did one and Jobs in Kent did one.
Oh, nice one. Yeah. No, I see what you've done there.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Chatham. Yeah. On Thursday, 26th of March, from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m, there will be help and advice available on the day to receive or help you construct your CV, to give you careers advice and help with finding the right opportunity for you. We have 24 employers confirmed and more to come. All the details can be found at www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Now, you know what I said to you about Rwanda? The bigger your CV, the more you'll get a job.
Really?
Go.
It's the other way here.
Bigger.
It's the other way here. More than two pages, it goes in the bin.
I know.
On Jobs in Kent, we've just developed a simple CV to keep it shorter than one page.
I know.
You don't want a big CV.
Everything is over there, a big bit better.
They're showing off, aren't they?
They are showing
big
off.
Big is better, yeah.
Fascinating.
Cool. You can do one more just while I check this out.
I can't.
Have you got to the end of yours?
Got nothing.
Is there no more tweets left?
Nothing.
Really?
No.
Are you sure?
I've had enough. I'm going.
Are you? Where are you going? Rwanda.
Rwanda.
I've got
Do you know what it's like, right? What? I've kept this secret for such a long time now.
Yeah, you've
it's
forgotten like, you told everybody.
And also, everybody's going, are you really excited? And I'm like, well, I don't know because I've kept it so quiet and there's so much to do. Like, does anybody want a Range Rover? Or a Fiat 500, or a dining room table and chairs, or three children. Any of those things will go.
Yeah.
All must go.
Cool.
My dog's coming, though.
Oh, you're taking the dog? Yeah.
I found out more about my dog going than anything. Anyway, what have you got over there? $2,000 it's going to cost me for that
take
dog.
The dog.
See, Stephen would have. Stephen's done that shake of the head as well. Weren't worth it, was it?
Nah.
See?
Nah.
Amanda would take her dog.
Yeah, no, but can't you leave the dog with the kids?
No.
Why?
No. The dog is coming. The kids can stay.
Not worried about the gorillas with the dog.
Yeah. No, they're in the jungle, okay. Barbara. Yeah, we're in the city, love. It's not King Kong or anything.
Can you imagine that? I'm waiting for the phone call from Rwanda while we're live on air going, sorry, love, I've got to go. There's a gorilla on my window. Marsh Breakfast Networking. The next event is on the 26th of March, and it's at the Ship Inn in the High Street in Dimchurch, 7:45 to 9:15. Check it out. Or you can go to Networking Over Coffee. Oh, no, that one's gone. Or Ryan Networking Over Coffee on the 17th of March, St. Paddy's Day. That's 9:30 till 12 at the King's Head in Rye. You can find out all about the different Marsh Networking groups and book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh Network.
You should hold a competition.
For what?
To take my job here with you.
I can't get anyone to do it anyway. They go, really? You want me to spend 2 hours being abused by you? No, thank you, Paul.
Ah, it's so funny.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
No,
you've got no sympathy for me at all.
With
they
you.
Don't. They don't. They're going, no, sorry, I'm busy that year.
Honestly, though, we have the best time, don't we? We do meet the best people and the best time.
Nobody wants
to work with me.
No, no, they go, oh, I'm not spending 2 hours being abused for you, by you.
Being
the butt of your humour.
Or am I missing the point here? Am I such a blonde bimbo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's gone straight over your head, bud. You spent 5 years being abused and you don't even know. Hey, listen, I need to tell you about this as well. You need to listen in to our sister show on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. And her co-host this week is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. And their guest is Jerry Gordon Brown. I think that's one guest, or it might be three, actually, mightn't it? Jerry Gordon Brown. But I assume it's one.
Jerry and Gordon Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they're twins. So do tune in to the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday, 11 a.m. here on bizradio.co.uk, where Amanda and Gemma will be talking to Jerry.
And Gordon.
And Gordon and Mr. Brown. Yeah. Or Mrs. Brown. And Mrs. Brown's boys. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, Fit for Trade. Thank you so much. To our fantastic guests, Lucia Dello of Dello Data Analytics and Barbara Luna of Luna Customer Experience. Thank you so much, ladies. It's been a fascinating discussion. Blimey. what were you going to say?
What were we going to say?
Yeah, yeah.
thank you very much.
And a huge thank you to my co-host, the lovely Rwandan-based...
You're only saying that because nobody else will work with you now.
Rwandan-based former nursing sister and Iron Woman.
I'm not going today, for goodness
sake. The lovely Bird on a Bike. If you want to take over from Bird on the show, let me know.
I'll accept anybody.
Yeah, yeah, anyone will do it. And nothing could be worse, so yeah. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to spend a couple of hours with you. Thank you for all your tweets, emails and interaction. Lovely to hear from you. Have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll be back next week with another Business Bunker Show. And Bird will be here.
I will be there.
He will be here for another show.
Yep. And the dog would come with you, by the way. Your gift's just come through. Yes, the dog would come with us wherever we went, Vanilla Web.
Is that right? All right.
You've been told.
I've been told. Yeah, yeah, the dog's coming.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. We'll be back next week with another show. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.